Welcome, loves. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Well, somebody's got to say it, so I might as well be the one to say it. I have been working the phones diligently to try to get more information on the shooting on the I-190 yesterday, and what the officials are not saying and what I think they need to come clean on is the rumors, many, let's just say this, from people within the law enforcement community, that the shooting yesterday was in fact a targeted shooting, and it was targeted because of alleged drug activity. Somebody has to say it. I'll probably catch hell for saying it, and I don't say this with any joy, because three people got shot yesterday in the Buffalo Sewer Authority truck. But it just keeps on coming up over and over and over and over again from people I know in the law enforcement community that whoever was doing the shooting at least thought they were shooting at somebody who, in some way, shape, or form, had done them wrong in a drug deal. And if that is the case, then the officials of the New York State Police, the officials of the Buffalo Police, and the city officials need to come clean with the public. Because right now, all we know is, hey, some lunatic opened fire on a Buffalo Sewer Authority truck and wounded three people, one of them fatally. And there's no danger to the general public, but why? To the exclusion of all other vehicles, did somebody open fire on that particular vehicle? Why? And then why, if that is the case, why? This whole isolated versus targeted baloney, you're playing with words, New York State Police. You are playing with words. And the people out there listening to this show need to know, was this done because of an alleged drug deal gone bad, or somebody who had gypped somebody on a drug deal? And I'm not saying anybody in that truck did. What I'm saying is the people who did the shooting thought, at least, that they were targeting somebody who in some way, shape, or form had ripped them off in a drug deal. The people of Western New York deserve to know. And that is information that I have from law enforcement people who have been very reliable sources to me in the past. And it's also coming into me on email from people who have been corresponding with me for years, who have some information on exactly what happened. And I really call upon the officials, including the mayor, who is a friend of mine. I call upon the mayor. I call upon the state police. I call upon the Buffalo police to come out and say it. Yes, it's tragic. Somebody lost their life. Was it the intended target? I do not know. I have no idea. Was anybody in the car, in the Buffalo Sewer Authority truck? Was anybody guilty of offending some drug cartel? Or did they get the wrong truck? I don't know. But the motive, again, this comes from people I've known for years in law enforcement, and from other people I have known to be, honest in their telling me what is going on behind the scenes. All indications out there amongst people in the know, yesterday's shooting on the 190 had something to do with drugs and possibly gang activity. So I wish the people in charge would have the balls and the honesty to just say it. Because we've got one person dead, and I have no idea if that person was even the intended target. And we have two people who were wounded, one of them seriously wounded, yesterday in that shooting. And the people of Western New York and the people of the region deserve to know why, in their best estimation. And it's not like this is some big secret in the law enforcement community. It's like everybody in the law enforcement community with whom I have spoken or corresponded in some way, shape, or form, they're all telling me the same thing. this had something to do with drugs. Now, whether or not, again, the shooters got the right vehicle or the wrong vehicle, whether these are all people who had nothing to do with anything illicit and it was a case of false identification of somebody, I do not know. But the motive for this, from every indication that I have, seems to be, and I can only tell you what I've heard from multiple law enforcement people, it had something to do with drugs. And why are they so quick to tell us the general public has nothing about which to be scared? The general public has no reason to be concerned whatsoever. Well, how do they know that? How do they know there's not some maniac who is driving around shooting randomly at vehicles, and this one just happened to have been a Buffalo Sewer Authority vehicle? Why? How do they know that? How would they know that? And look, I don't like to say these things, but I feel confident enough in my sources to say that law enforcement people have told me yesterday's shooting on the 190 had something to do with drugs and possibly gang activity. Now, the information that I had yesterday regarding a white sedan, that came to me from somebody who ordinarily would be a legitimate source. The vehicle did not turn out to be a white sedan. The suspect vehicle turned out to be a dark-colored Jeep Cherokee. And allegedly, again, from a couple of law enforcement people, it had switched plates. And for those who don't know, switching the plates of a vehicle that has already been stolen, guys, that has been a routine modus operandi of professional killers. You can go back to the days of Murder Incorporated, based in Brownsville, Brooklyn, New York City, and that's what they used to do. They used to hire guys to go out and lift cars, and once they lifted the cars, they'd put them in a garage somewhere, then they'd rip off license plates, in particular of cars that weren't generally used, and they would put the license plates on the stolen vehicle to further confound police in the event that somebody was smart enough to write down a license plate number. And license plate numbers have been very important, and believe me, I know this personally, in tracking down people who are involved in nefarious activities. At least two very, very famous cases were solved because somebody wrote down a license plate number, and this is why bad guys, they rip off license plates. Number one, I mentioned this yesterday, the Son of Sam killings in New York City. Now, I don't happen to think that David Berkowitz was the only shooter in Son of Sam. And if you watch the documentary Sons of Sam, plural, Sons of Sam, you will see that there may very well have been more people involved. But the reason David Berkowitz was arrested as the Son of Sam is because he got a parking ticket. His vehicle got a parking ticket near the vicinity in which the last Son of Sam homicide took place. And I'll be very frank about it. The police in that area at the time said, well, what's this Jewish kid from this neighborhood doing in this neighborhood at this time of day? And the other very famous case that was solved with a license plate, there have been many cases that have been solved with license plate information, was the Lindbergh kidnapping. And Bruno Richard Hauptmann was arrested and charged and convicted and eventually electrocuted because he passed a gold certificate note at a gas station in New York City, and the attendant thought it was kind of, it was a little bit off. So the attendant wrote down the license plate number on the bill, which was given to him by a man who turned out to be Bruno Richard Hauptmann, who eventually was actually, as I recall, pulled over on an equipment violation. And then the feds moved in and got the local authorities out of the way and made the arrest in the Lindbergh kidnapping. So the idea of stealing cars and using fake license plates is nothing new in the world of criminality, in particular when it is premeditated. You know what you're going to do, and you want to minimize your chances of being caught. Look, I've heard this from enough people in law enforcement to feel comfortable to say it to you. At the same time, I must stress, criminals tend not to be the smartest people in the world. So the people in that truck may very well have been innocent of any wrongdoing whatsoever. It may simply have been a case of mistaken identity. That I do not know. But it just seems like they're just playing verbal semantics at the New York State Police in Batavia. I'm talking about the brass. I'm not talking about the rank and file with isolated versus targeted. Really? Isolated versus targeted, it means absolutely nothing, because you can't say that the people in general have absolutely no risk from some madman with a gun driving up and down interstates, plugging away at them, unless you know that there was a motive and that the targets were intended targets or believed to be intended targets by the people doing the shooting. But I wish the authorities would just come out and say what people in the community already seem to know. Do you think that with the internet, word doesn't get around? Do you think with email, word doesn't get around? Do you think with the sources I have, word doesn't get around? I heard very early yesterday that this was a drug and gang-related homicide slash shooting. And unfortunately, what happens is, as I said, criminals, some of them are actually quite smart. I shouldn't really take away from criminals. John Gotti, I think, had a genius-level IQ, and there are a number of people in criminal history who have been quite smart. They've also been quite immoral, amoral, and without any conscience whatsoever. But some of them are pretty dumb. But if you're going to go out and whack somebody, you're not going to do it in your own car with your own license plates. You're going to get a stolen vehicle. You're going to switch the plates, and then you're going to do it because you minimize your chances of being busted by some good Samaritan who writes down the tag number. Okay, license plate, just take it from me. I know this personally. License plate numbers can be very, very important at getting to the bottom of a mystery. I feel horrible for everybody who is in that Buffalo Sewer Authority truck, because the fact of the matter is, and I want to stress this because I don't want to get myself into hot water, I have no idea if the bad guys actually got the target for which they were looking or whether they made a mistake, which is altogether possible. But as far as the motive, there are two things that keep coming up over and over and over again with people in law enforcement with whom I have spoken or corresponded, and that is, number one, drugs, number two, gang. And let's put it this way. If the police don't know this, then why are they so quick to reassure you that you have nothing to worry about driving on the 190, on your way to work, on the way to a hockey game, on the way to wherever it is you happen to be going on the 190 or any of the other interstates or major thoroughfares in Western New York? You've got nothing to worry about. Well, what do they know that they're not sharing with the general public? What do they know? Because you can't say that you don't have a motive if you are also saying there's no danger to the general public. Those are inconsistent statements, okay? You have to know the motive before you can say there's no danger to the general public. You can't just say there's no danger to the general public if you don't know the motive. And clearly, people in law enforcement know or believe reasonably that this was a drug and gang-related shooting that took place on the 190 yesterday. And when you look at, I mean, let's look at some of the other facts that are out there. What have you seen personally? You've seen multiple bullet holes in the side of that truck. This wasn't somebody who got pissed off in traffic, who let a round or two fly and then drove off. Somebody wanted whoever they thought was in that truck dead or seriously injured in the attack, because there were at least 9 or 10 rounds that penetrated that truck. At least 9 or 10 rounds. That is not a typical road rage shooting situation where generally there's a shot, maybe 2 shots fired, maybe 3 shots fired. But this was a concentrated attack. And if you look at the shot grouping on the side of that Buffalo Sewer Authority pickup truck, you will see that there were about 3 rounds that entered on the driver's side, whoever was driving that vehicle, and then you've got a whole bunch clustered around the seat in back of the driver, the door which led into the seat behind the driver. There is a grouping of shots making it seem to me, and look, I'm just an amateur at this stuff. I only know what I read. I only know what I've studied. I only know what I know from people with whom I've spoken. If you see a grouping of shots in a vehicle with multiple people in it, centered on one particular area of the vehicle, there's a reason for that, okay? You were aiming at that particular spot in the vehicle. And again, I want to stress whether or not the correct target in the mind of the murderous thugs who did this was actually even in the truck. I don't know. That I do not know. But there's so much official talk and official BS going on about this situation, and somebody's got to be the one to say it, and I guess I'm going to be the one to say it, because there's been a lot of time looking into this. There's been a lot of time on the phone and in other communication ways talking with people in law enforcement, and the one thing that keeps coming up over and over and over again is this shooting was not some random act of road rage violence. This was directed at somebody specific, and the motive was drug and or gang activity. So the city officials of Buffalo, including Chief Grimalia, including my friend Mayor Brown, including Eugene Stanishevsky, the major of New York State Police Troop A, which is our part of New York State, and the DA John Flynn, I think all of you people owe it to the general public to come forward and say, look, we believe that the reason for this shooting was drug and or gang related. And that is why we are telling you that there is no danger to the general public. I mean, can we please stop playing games with semantics between isolated and targeted shootings? It doesn't matter much to the people in that truck, does it? If you got hit by a round, does it really matter exactly why you were hit by a round? No, it does not. If you've left family behind, and I have no idea, and I have not been able to figure out whom the alleged target was supposed to have been. All I know is that the people in that truck, obviously have to be considered innocent victims at this point, but the shooters who did the shooting believed that they were shooting at somebody, allegedly, from what I've heard from multiple sources, who wronged them in some drug deal. Whether they sold bad drugs, false drugs, talcum powder for cocaine, I have no idea. Whether the shooters got what they thought was the right truck, I have no idea. But it makes no logical sense to tell the general public, you have nothing to worry about whatsoever if you don't have an idea as to the motive. And how come everybody with whom I've talked to in law enforcement tells me the same thing over and over, that this was a drug-related and possibly gang-related shooting? And again, I want to emphasize, because we have hurting families out there, whether you are dead or wounded and in serious condition, critical condition, or whatever, you care about your loved one. And I've had people in my family who weren't exactly examples of law-abiding citizens. So I'm just saying that you folks just use your common sense. Use your common sense. If the police and the authorities and the city officials are saying the general public has no reason to be concerned whatsoever about what happened to that sewer authority truck, well, then they've got to know the motive. They've got to have an idea of why it happened. Because if you can't just publicly go out and say, well, the general public has nothing about which to fear unless you know or have some reasonable idea as to why the shots were fired at that particular vehicle at that particular time to the exclusion of all other vehicles. It's not like a whole bunch of cars got shut up. One specific vehicle was targeted, and it was heavily targeted with approximately 9 to 10 rounds striking the driver's side of that pickup truck of the Buffalo Sewer Authority. And again, you know what? I may catch hell for this, but I've caught hell before, and I'm kind of used to the flames lapping at my feet. But damn it, somebody's got to tell the damn truth at some point or another, and the sooner the better the law enforcement officials make public what they actually know and tell the public why the public have nothing to fear whatsoever from some gun-crazed lunatic driving on the 190 or any of the other roads of Western New York. I've never been afraid to tell the truth, as I believe the truth to be, when I have it confirmed with multiple people in the law enforcement community, and the people of the city, the people of this area deserve to know where the investigation is heading at this point. Most importantly, the motive, and whether you can take your kid to dance recital on the 190 or any other road without worrying about being shot up by the same people who shot up the Buffalo Sewer Authority truck. Makes sense to anybody? 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Look, my thoughts and prayers are certainly with everybody who is in that truck. Nobody deserves to get shot up like that. Nobody. And I feel terrible about what happened. I want to emphasize that. I feel terrible about what happened. But there's so much silence and so many whispers out there and so many rumors going around that and by the way, what I'm telling you is not just idle rumor. It comes from people in law enforcement, okay? Now, have they been wrong before? Yeah, but not with anything I've ever talked about. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Do you believe that the officials are being honest with you about what happened yesterday on the 190? They know a hell of a lot more than what they're admitting. And damn it, somebody's got to say it, and I'm just stupid enough to be the one to do it. 229 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Oh, I knew this was going to happen. Off the air, some people called into Tanner Saunders and lambasted me. Oh, Bowerly's not a cop. What the hell does he know? The information that I'm passing on to you comes from people who are police officers. If you are a new listener to the show, look, I've got a lot of friends who are cops, okay? A lot of friends who are cops, and many friends who are very closely connected to this investigation. They know things that are not being released to the public. This isn't just me spinning tales from thin air. This is me working the phones for you so somebody can tell you the damn truth about what happened yesterday on the I-190. And this is a very dangerous time and a very dangerous country and a very dangerous place when you, the people who pay the salaries, the people who pay the taxes, are not being told the truth about what police know. There is no danger whatsoever in upsetting or interfering with the investigation by my saying what the police are already saying to each other. This was drug related and possibly gang related. And we're talking about the shooting on the I-190 yesterday. And unfortunately, the information that I have is that the individual who was actually killed had absolutely nothing to do with any nefarious activity whatsoever. Nothing to do whatsoever with it. But as far as the official statements, may I just take you back a little bit to the Joan Diver murder? Yeah, I'm not a cop, but when Joan Diver was murdered, on the anniversary of Linda Yalom's murder, I remember coming on the air on a Monday morning because the body was found on a Sunday, and I know exactly where I was when they found the body of Joan Diver. I came on the air, and I said, this has got to be related to the bike path. Well, he was called the bike path rapist at that time, the scumbag, the late Altemio Sanchez. I hate even saying his name. But I came on the air that day, the hell I took from people. You're not a cop. How can you possibly say these things? I even had cops calling saying, how can you possibly say, without even knowing, that the Joan Diver homicide had anything to do with the Linda Yalom homicide? And poor Stephen Diver, who was the widower of Joan Diver, that poor guy was at UB. He had to hire a lawyer, which, by the way, was a very, very smart move that he did in order to protect his legal rights and his innocence. And lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, before the police came out and said, yeah, this was the bike path killer at work once again. I told you that at 9 o'clock or 9:15, whenever it was on a Monday morning, that I strongly suspected that this, out of every day of the year, 365 days of the year, how come Joan Diver was killed on the anniversary of the Linda Yalom murder? And knowing a little bit about serial killers and criminality, and you, by the way, you don't have to be a cop to know a few things about criminality. I probably know more about certain crime areas than a lot of cops do anyway. And that's not braggadocio. I'm 60 years old. If I haven't learned anything in 60 years, and I've been studying this stuff since I was a little kid, my first book was a book about the FBI, back when the FBI was actually a legitimate law enforcement agency and not a bunch of political hacks running around. Look, I'm just saying that the... going back to the Joan Diver homicide in Clarence, I was the first one to say, I believe there's every reason to believe this has every marking of the bike path rapist. This was not random. This was the bike path rapist because serial killers. I mean, what did we subsequently find out about Altemio Sanchez? That he actually took part in the Linda Yalom memorial run. And serial killers are big on anniversaries. Serial killers like to revisit scenes of their horrific crimes. So I know a little bit about this stuff, and I think if you've listened to this show enough over the years, you understand that this happens to be an area of interest to me in which I have some aptitude. We're not talking about trigonometry. We're not talking about calculus. We're talking about basically criminal investigation and criminal activity and the minds of the criminal. And again, I told you well before the police told you that that the Joan Diver murder had to be connected to the bike path killings. And lo and behold, it was that crime which ultimately was Altemio Sanchez's downfall. That was the end, because they were able to extract DNA. They were able to find the hardware store in which some of the materials that were used in the killing had been purchased by Altemio Sanchez. And it was, in fact, related to the bike path killing. And I remember taking calls from people off air. The call screener did. And how dare you, Tom? How dare you speak out of turn? How dare you say things the police are not saying officially? Well, let me just tell you something. I was born a very short time before President Kennedy was assassinated. And the older I have become and the more I have read about that case, the more I realize that, especially when it comes to the federal government, you can't trust a damn thing they tell you. And nobody will ever convince me that Lee Harvey Oswald was an innocent man. He was a double agent of the United States government. The Texas Attorney General Wagoner Carr told the Warren Commission that Lee Oswald was paid $200 a month as a CI for the FBI. And back then, $200 a month was a lot of money. And then you start looking at some of the specifics of the Garrison investigation into the assassination of President Kennedy, and you realize Jim Garrison was right. In so many ways, Jim Garrison was right. He was the one who pieced together the connections between a guy named Guy Bannister, who had an office in the same building as was stamped on the leaflets Oswald was handing out in New Orleans in the summer of 1963 for the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. Multiple witnesses saw this Guy Bannister, former head of the Chicago FBI, former assistant police chief in New Orleans, then a private investigator. Garrison was the one who went to the scene. He was the New Orleans district attorney, and he basically said, wait a minute, why is Oswald stamping an address on his Fair Play for Cuba committee that used to be an address that was used by anti-Castro activist Carlos Bringer and his anti-Castro committee? And David Ferry. David Ferry allegedly was to have been the getaway pilot for the assassins in the JFK murder. And those of you who've watched Oliver Stone's JFK will understand that the minute the Garrison probe into the Kennedy assassination hit the newspapers, David Ferry legitimately went downhill, and eventually he died of natural causes, but only after leaving two suicide notes. So that showed an incredible amount of psychic ability of David Ferry to know he was going to die because he wrote two suicide notes, and I've read the notes. They are suicide notes. There's not a doubt in my mind. By the time you read this, I will be quite dead. That seems to me to be a suicide note. And then he dies of natural causes from a brain aneurysm right after writing those notes. It doesn't make sense. And there was another guy involved in the case. His name was Richard Case Nagel. He said he knew Oswald. He knew about the assassination. His job was to take out Oswald before it could happen, and he realized that he might also be framed as the patsy in the JFK murder. And when the Assassination Records Review Board subpoenaed or I don't know if it was a subpoena or a letter. Terminology, I guess, is important. But the day after he gets a letter from the Assassinations Record Review Board, what do you know? Richard Case Nagel turns up dead at the age of 65 of a heart attack. And I've mentioned this a million times. When you look at the clusters of deaths which followed the Kennedy assassination and the various investigations into it, there is a definite pattern, which you don't have to be a cop. You don't have to have any background in intelligence or investigation. All you have to be is just a little bit on the ball to realize, why were there clusters of deaths of important people just before the Warren Commission report came out? Why were there clusters of death during the Garrison investigation in 1967 in New Orleans and the House Select Committee of Assassinations in the late 1970s? Interestingly, so many people that the House Select Committee wanted to talk to ended up dead right before they were supposed to testify. I'm talking about Johnny in a Drum Roselli. I'm talking about Sam Giancana. I'm talking about Oswald's friend George de Morenschildt. They all end up dead. By the way, de Morenschildt was good friends with President George Herbert Walker Bush, who was heavily involved in the Bay of Pig invasion, and you can tell by the names of some of the vessels that were used. One was the Zapata, which just happened to have been the name of George Bush's oil company, and the other was the Barbara, which was the name of George Herbert Walker Bush's wife, and also the name he gave his planes when he was flying combat missions in World War II. So I'm sorry, but there comes a point where you have to say things are not coincidence, that there is a reason why there were clusters of deaths. So again, using those same principles of common sense, that is why I came to the early conclusion, which was poo-pooed by certain people in law enforcement, by certain callers to this show, that the Joan Diver murder was absolutely the result of the bike path rapist, as he was called then. And I'm telling you right now that based on multiple conversations with people close to this investigation of what happened yesterday on the 190, that the word amongst law enforcement people, as well as others who are familiar with the investigation, is that this was a situation where the shooters targeted that specific vehicle because they believed that somebody who had ripped them off in some way, shape, or form in a drug deal was in that vehicle at the time of shooting. And my understanding, furthermore, is the dead man had nothing to do with any nefarious activity. And as far as the other individuals, I don't know. Was it the wrong target? Was it a case of mistaken identity? That's always a possibility. But come on, use your common sense. To the exclusion of all other vehicles, this vehicle opened fire on a Buffalo Sewer Authority truck and no other vehicle whatsoever. And moreover, right after the shooting, we were told there's no danger to the general public. Why would they say there's no danger to the general public unless the police themselves had an idea as to the motive behind the shooting? It makes no sense. It makes no sense because based on what has been released so far by official people, based on what has been released by the New York State Police, there would be no reason to not believe there's some maniac who's going around plugging cars on highways of Western New York. Again, folks, this is just common sense. You don't have to be a cop. You don't have to know anything about criminal investigation whatsoever. But, I might not be a cop, but I'll tell you something. I cracked a case a few years ago that nobody should have cracked. Nobody should have cracked, and I cracked it, and it involves the stuff that took place around my home. And you know how I figured out who's behind it? By tracing license plates. Well, that's illegal, Tom. Yeah. Statute of limitations has gone by now, hasn't it? Let's go to Paul in Lancaster on WBEN. Paul, for some reason, your phone is not being punched up by me, so I need Tanner to do it back at the radio station before I reboot this bad boy during the news. Paul, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How are you, man?
I'm
second time call. My man. Hey, second time caller. On most topics, I'm in agreement with you. Sometimes we differ a little bit, but on this today, you are knocking it out of the park, 100%, home run, touchdown, all that. You're the clarity that these people that in police and government, I mean, come on, man. Like, for me, it was like, it's like the boogeyman out there. Like, what am I, because I have my pistol permit, I was 27 years corrections officer. So, my point being, like, am I walking around like being all paranoid and looking everywhere? No, just tell me what's what, ASAP. And they don't. But, man, you're so on today. I thank you.
Well,
I'm going to buy you a beer if I ever see you out. I'm going to buy you a beer.
Actually, don't buy me a beer. Buy me tequila, a double Casamigos or Azul, better yet, with a twist of lime. But I'm only allowing myself two a day. But anyway, or maybe it's two an hour, I forget. But anyway, Paul, look, as a CO, you have connections in law enforcement. You can't tell me that you aren't hearing the same things I'm hearing.
Well, I kind of put it on the back burner because I was kind of getting a little bit bummed out about the thing in Maine and Israel and all that. And so I turned the news off for a while. But then I was riding around today and I turned you on. And I'm like, okay, that's it. I got to call this guy.
I mean, seriously, how come everybody I know in law enforcement who knows anything about this investigation, and these are people who may or may not know each other, how come they're all telling me the same thing? This was drug-related and possibly gang-related. Why are they all saying that to the exclusion of all other possibilities? Why? This isn't a DC sniper situation.
No. So real quick, Tom, my first hunch was that it was a murder for hire from a wife or girlfriend. That was my first hunch. But then as it started unfolding, I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't like a road rage thing. This isn't because you got stolen plates on a stolen vehicle, right? So like you had talked about, that's what really got me calling into you, because when you said that, I'm like, yeah, that's so true. Like bad guys, you and I don't ride around with stolen plates, right? So
No, because frankly, with the LPRs, the license plate readers that so many police cars are equipped with these days, if a vehicle has plates that vehicle should not have, you're going to get pulled over immediately. If you've got an inspired registration or inspection, they will pull you over immediately.
Yes.
If your insurance is out, they will pull you over immediately. So it's kind of a dangerous move in 2023, but I guess it's a little bit better to be pulled over for that than it is to be pulled over for a homicide.
Oh, hey, you are a voracious researcher, I have to tell you. So Eltimio Sanchez, I followed very closely. That was early on in my career. And I grew up around Vets Hospital area. I used to run bike on that trail periodically. But no, your research is second to none.
Well, I mean, you know what? It's not so much a question of research. It is a question of having contacts, as I'm sure you do, with people in the law enforcement community and other agencies directly involved in this investigation. And that's like when people call off air, Bowerly's not a cop. What does he know? Well, you know what? I know what cops are telling me.
I know what investigators are
telling me.
No. Listen. And depending on, so if you were to come to my neighborhood and like there's local, the Lancaster police that I know, they're very like, I'll ask them, hey, man, I know you don't want to maybe answer this, but what happened over here? This stuff never makes it into the media or paper. They tell you, though. And it's like, OK, as long as I know, because then you have a little bit more sense of security. Like, should I be? And I lock my house up, even though whatever, I have an alarm and everything, but I still lock my house. But but what I'm saying, you're very passionate. What I mean by your research, you're very passionate, though, about these topics. I mean,
well, it's, you know what? I mean, passion is emotion, and in an investigation, emotion is worthless. What this is just using common sense. Why were the state police so quick to say the general public has nothing to worry about unless they have an idea as to the motive? And I'm telling you, they do have an idea as to the motive. And what I keep on hearing from people that I have known for many years is they do know the motive. It has something to do with drugs. Now, whether the correct vehicle, if you will, was in fact shot up yesterday 9 or 10 times on the I-190, that I do not know.
Yeah.
Paul, thank you. I appreciate the call.
Yes, sir. You have a great weekend.
Oh, I'll try. I mean, I feel bad for the people who were shot yesterday. I truly do. I mean,
question. Oh, no doubt. No, that's,
I mean, that's... just because you're in drugs doesn't mean you deserve a death sentence. But unfortunately, when you get into the criminal underworld, you choose a certain life. And one of the issues in that life is either a sudden departure from this world or lifetime incarceration.